Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Word of God for our meditation this morning is the epistle lesson for today. We read from Romans chapter 10, verses 11 through 17. For the Scripture says, "Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach a gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So far, God's word. In the name of Christ, the one for whom and through whom all our mission work is accomplished, dear fellow redeemed, do you know what brought you to the seat that you are sitting in today? What happened that led you to this church building, to this synod, to this faith? Each of you may have different details in the spiritual journey that led you here. But we all have one thing in common. We all began in a position where we did not know God, nor did we seek God. God called each one of us by his gospel to his family. It was through God's mission work that we are where we are today. Without him, there would be no Calvary Lutheran Church. There would be no CLC. There would be no Christianity today. It was his work of salvation. It was his work of converting the first believers and every other saint. It was his work of preserving the truth of his word so that people throughout history may hear the testimony of Christ crucified and believe in him. This is God's method of mission work, and it is the best method. It is the best method because God comes to us, and because God works through us. It is wholly dependent on God. The main theme of the Epistle to the Romans is how salvation comes to all mankind solely through the grace of God. In the first three chapters, Paul explicitly illustrates how sin has corrupted all mankind and no one could stand righteous before God. In Romans 3, verses 10 through 12, Paul quotes Psalm 14 when he says, "As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." And he states again later in the last part of verse 22 through verse 23, "For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It didn't matter if you were a Jew or a Gentile, as we are today. No one knew God, nor did anyone seek God. It was and it remains impossible for anyone to come to God on his own power. And that is the point that Paul is making by the use of four rhetorical questions. He says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" The ability to come to faith is outside of us. How can someone call upon the Lord in confidence if he does not believe in him? He can't. And he won't. How can someone believe in the Lord unless he hears the message of God's grace in Christ? Well, he can't believe that message unless he hears it first. If you had a chronic illness and were unable to figure out what the cause was, wouldn't you gain a peace of mind finally receiving a diagnosis so that you could get the right treatment for it? The same perspective is true in regards to our sinful nature. We can have a peace of mind knowing that we were dead in our sins and unable to accept God because it means that our salvation does not depend on us. Our salvation wholly depends on God. How does Paul continue in chapter 3? And all are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. From the beginning of time, God had the plan to send his Son to be the Redeemer of the world. He knew of the failure of our ancestors, and he knows of all of our failures today. In his great mercy, he put the punishment for our sins on his only Son, Jesus. Jesus knew no sin, but became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. There is no greater joy that we can have in this life other than knowing Christ. God himself has earned our salvation on the cross and sealed our inheritance through his resurrection from the dead. Paul says in verse 12 through 13 and verse 17 of our text, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." This is what makes God's method of mission work the best. There is nothing for you or me to do but to hear the word of God. The Holy Spirit creates a faith in our heart that enables us to call on the name of the Lord. He enables us to throw off our old Adam and become rich through the blood of our Savior. And in the same way that God has taken care of your salvation and faith, he works through you and me to spread the message of his gospel to those around us. Paul says in verse 15, "And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach a gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." God has chosen to use people to spread the message of salvation throughout the world. He used Moses, a prophet, who when God called him said, "Who am I that I should go?" He used prophets from all over the spectrum of social status. He used men whose profession was fishing. And he used Paul, who was one of the greatest persecutors of the early church. It did not matter who these people were or what their background was. What mattered was God was working through them to proclaim his word. And it does not matter who you or I are. We don't have to be trained for so many years in a seminary or specialize in public speaking to be successful. While these things may be beneficial to mission work, what is necessary and what gives the power to any of our witnessing is the word of God that we proclaim. It is God working through our words and actions to create faith in Christ. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Even in the words we speak, it is God's power working and affecting the change in people's hearts. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God gave us good works to do not only for the building up of our own faith, but also to be a witness to those around us. This is to fulfill the words of Jesus in Matthew 5, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Feet are not often considered to be beautiful, but Scripture calls them beautiful, not because of the person themselves, but because they are carriers of the word of peace to man through Christ Jesus. But isn't that too difficult in today's culture? Doesn't it seem like a foolish thing to do in a society that openly despises Christianity? No one likes to be shamed for the way they act or for what they say. But Paul states boldly, "For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame." The world will revolt against the teaching of God's word, even as Jesus himself said it would. Many will try to put you to shame and perhaps reject you for believing in a fantasy. And Paul's response to that would be, so what? God has confirmed you in the truth of his word. And at the end of time, you could stand confident before the judgment throne of God, knowing that because of Christ, you will receive eternal life. Martin Luther says in his hymn, "And take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Let these all be gone, they yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth." Everything in this world is temporary, including the opinions of the world. We may lose everything in terms of possessions, but they cannot take away the joy and peace that is yours through Christ Jesus. And this joy and peace is yours to share. Have you ever seen a child get so excited about something they saw or accomplished that they just have to share it with you? Their excitement gets so overwhelming that sometimes they can't even get the words out of their mouth. That is the same excitement we ought to have to share the message of Christ crucified for the world. This message is the greatest news anyone could ever receive because it brings everlasting joy and it brings everlasting peace. There is no specific way to share this message. Just tell people what God has done for you. Tell them in your own words what a difference he has made for you, and you will be sharing the message of grace. Did you know that there are some kinds of fish that are permanently blind? Scientists have discovered fish deep in the darkness of subterranean caves that only have membrane where their eyes should be. They swim around in total darkness their entire lives. The Bible tells us that's how people are by nature. Paul says that they're spiritually blind, walking in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. They are like blind fish swimming around in a darkened sea. They don't know that, of course. They're just going about their business. But if they die that way, they perish eternally. And you? You have the message that can save them. The question is, do you have the heart for missions? If you understand God's grace, then the answer is yes. If you got the joy knowing that Christ is the end of the law for your life, then you've got everything it takes. And I certainly don't need to tell you what to do. 1 John 4, verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." Let this love that Christ has shown for each of us through his death on the cross fill our hearts to shout his love for all people on every mountaintop, that they too may call upon his name and enter the fold of our Father in heaven. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.